Thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to be here. It's a parliamentary sitting week, which is always a little bit hard, and we sat till 1 o'clock last night, so a little bit tired, but it's a great opportunity to be here and talk about sustainable cities and also a future for Western Australia. Could I start by acknowledging the traditional owners and pay my respect to their elders past and present? Peter Iwonzo will go through a lot of the Indigenous employment and some of the aspects, some of the new measures we're introducing in relation to main roads. But what I want to outline to you today really is the vision that we have in relation to the sustainable future of our cities and what sort of vision and what commitments we have in relation to creating that better future for our children and our grandchildren. Because it is something when it all gets a little bit hard and you're very tired, it's looking at what are we here for? We're here to create a better future, a better city, better suburbs for our children and our grandchildren to live in. And that's something that inspires me every day. If I look at my portfolios of planning and transport, what is the overall vision? The overall vision is connected, vibrant communities. Communities that provide opportunities for everyone to be involved in society. And I'm very passionate about this. I believe transport and planning are enablers to allow people to participate in the economy, in the society. And so when I look at my portfolios, it's hard infrastructure, it's planning, regulations and legislation, but they enable enormous outcomes. It allows people to be connected to workplaces. It enables people to be connected to education opportunities. It gives people the ability to connect to others and basically create communities that support each other and also assist in making sure that everyone can participate in our modern economy. Our plan is really about giving people choices and making sure that if people want to drive, they can drive, but if they want to catch public transport, that we have those opportunities there for them. If they want to cycle, that we give them that mode of choice as well. So it's really about giving people choices about how they move around our city and suburbs. And in respect to housing, it's giving people housing choice too. So a lot of what we're trying to do as part of our planning reform, as part of what we're doing with Metronet, is giving people the opportunity to have housing choices across the suburbs. So if you want to age in place, you have that opportunity to be able to downsize and live in the community that you know and love. If you're a younger person wanting to get into the housing market, that you have those opportunities. So a lot of what we're driving is really making sure you have good choices to move around our cities and suburbs, but also choices in how and where you live, and that's fundamentally important. So what do we know? We know that 800,000 new homes will be required by 2050, with 380,000 to be built in strategic infill locations. The avoidable congestion costs are forecast to increase from $2.1 billion to $5.7 billion per annum by 2030. That the cost of providing public transport infrastructure to homes in the outer suburbs is more than double than those being provided in the infill areas. And that transit-orientated development promotes walking, cycling, 30 minutes of daily activity could help reduce public health burden by 26%. Much of what we're doing in relation to how we plan for our roads, how we plan for our rail system, is about addressing these challenges, about making sure we have density in the right places, as making sure that when we build our infrastructure, we not only when we build infrastructure, we're not only concerned about the rail lines that we lay, but the communities that we create. And that is fundamental to what Metronet is about. It's about making sure that we build the rail system, but that we create connected communities as part of that vision. If we look at some of the areas that we're investing in this year, as you can see, it's a lot in roads, it's a lot in cycling infrastructure, it's a lot in Metronet, and also establishing a Metronet railcar facility. This is a significant investment that will help transform the city and suburbs. I'm very, in a sense, lucky to have a record budget expenditure in rail, road and cycling. So that gives us the ability to really go and invest for the future and invest in the right areas. Another key priority from our perspective, working with industry, is creating the pipeline of work, and I think Peter may talk about that. By having an agreed plan in relation to investment for our rail lines, investment in roads, that we give industry the opportunity to participate over a longer term. So decisions aren't ad hoc, and that we have the ability for industry to have certainty in the economy and the certainty to invest. It also gives us the opportunity to work with industry in on key issues such as Aboriginal employment and training younger people too. So when we look at the infrastructure, it's not only about facilitating great land use outcomes, but it's also the jobs that can generate and the way that we actually encourage a pipeline of work, certainty for industry, and an ability for my government to work with industry to get better outcomes when we look at encouraging small business activity and, of course, Indigenous employment and also employing young people. I'll just skip and, I suppose, give some examples of what's underway at the moment. And this is a vision of the new Bayswater train station. That is something that we've committed to. As part of our MetroNet vision, for example, we're redeveloping the Bayswater train station. Now, that's a $146 million commitment at Bayswater. And we have now declared that it will be an MRA-operated area. And so what that means is that we're wanting to give planning certainty and work with the local community and local council in relation to encouraging development around that area. It's part of the overall vision for the Forestfield Rail Line and also the Ellenbrook Rail Line. So we're working on the provision of the infrastructure, the development of the plans, working with council, working through state government and working with the community with the aim of getting a plan that gives density in the appropriate places, supporting small business and also, of course, creating new opportunities for housing in that area. This is the model that we will be rolling out and enrolling out across the suburbs and also across the suburbs in relation to the Forestfield train station precinct and other train station precincts. State government gives the investment certainty, has the infrastructure plan, and we encourage the private sector through planning certainty and with all the right signals to come in and invest and help state government deliver good infill, but also really good amenity and precinct planning. Another key element, and as will be outlined later, is our very big commitment to Aboriginal employment and Aboriginal engagement. And again, through both MetroNet and our main roads budgets, we were looking at working with Aboriginal businesses and also getting Aboriginal workers involved in our road projects. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, I opened or turned the shovel for the first part of the Reed Highway duplication project, and two young Aboriginal apprentices, one from Ellenbrook, one from Lockridge, involved in that project. And that's a really good outcome. We're continually working across regional WA and, of course, the metropolitan area to get young Aboriginal people employed and engaged in what is a pipeline of infrastructure work. I'll just touch on that because it is one of the big outcomes is in many of our regional road projects, for example, in the north, we're experiencing or we're gaining about 40 to 50% of Aboriginal employment in our road projects. That again is a huge outcome. It's a huge outcome for the local Aboriginal communities, but also making sure that people have choices in relation to having real employment in their local communities and allowing them to continue to live in that area and also to help basically work within their family to help their families grow and survive into the future. So in relation to our road projects, as we said, we have a record investment in road projects. So as I said, it's not only about laying the infrastructure, but the employment it generates. Working with industry, we believe over the next 6 years, we can create a pipeline of work that makes sure that there's investment certainty and also creating new freight routes and also reducing congestion across the metropolitan area. Some examples, for example, are the Tonkin Highway transformation, new works for the Fremantle Traffic Bridge, work across the entire area to reduce congestion in some key areas. We believe our commitment to road infrastructure, our commitments to cycling infrastructure, and our commitments to rail infrastructure, coordinated with our land use planning, is fundamental to how we drive our future. In respect to planning, I'd just like to outline that we've already released the Design WA guidelines, for example, and those Design WA guidelines are there to help inform how we plan and develop our apartment buildings across the metropolitan area. We're also in the process of delivering our precinct plans as well to help facilitate good planning for precincts across the community. Through transport and planning, we're trying to make sure that in everything that we do, whether it's planning reform, design WA, we're trying to make sure we get better outcomes, more choices, and also more affordability when it comes to housing across the metropolitan area and across the regions. I think I've nearly run out of time. It's a very quick snapshot of what we're aiming to do across all of our portfolios. There's a lot to talk about, but hopefully the overall message is that we're working across portfolio to really improve the outcomes in relation to how we design our cities and suburbs, linking our infrastructure planning to our land use planning, and through state government leadership in key precincts, creating new amenity, new livable precincts across the metropolitan area. Thank you very much.